In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. There was a certain rich man. He was fitted with the finest of robes, and every day was a feast. And dining with him were all of his friends and his companions. And they delighted in his company, and he in theirs. And the rich man had the best of life. He was a blessed man, and his name was Lazarus. Yes, his name was Lazarus. Looks, as you may well know, are deceiving. Everywhere you look, your eyes betray you 24/7. Go ahead, Satan says to Adam and Eve. Look at that plush fruit that is pleasing to your eye. Or I disrobe you of God's righteousness and deceive you into sin and death. I mean, you may think, Adam and Eve, that you are becoming as rich as God in wisdom and knowledge. But really, you are becoming poor creatures in which sin will torment you and death will devour you. For as much as we desire to see God's work, we must even more hear God's work. That is, to be attentive to His voice. Our eyes must often close, often engulfed in darkness and uncertainty and distress, and our ears must labor and work overtime to listen to the father of Abraham, the one who was before Abraham, the I Am, who gives us an eternal day to rejoice in. For it is in our sin and our pride and our greed, in our coveting, in our prejudice, that we mistake appearance for reality. We assume that because our neighbor perhaps drives a fancy car, has a lavish home, has lots of money, children that are successful and life is good for all of them, that they bear no crosses, that they have no tribulations to travail. Now maybe, maybe not. But here's the point. Assuming about our neighbor, or even more about God, anything is a dangerous thing. Do not assume that God is your friend because your life is good and things are going well. And at the same time, do not assume that God is against you and that He is your enemy because you have many trials or tribulations or crosses. Because the truth of the matter might be exactly the opposite. So it was in the parable. The man who had been so rich was now eternally poor. And the man who had been so poor, earthly, was now eternally rich. And so we learn that the things of this life and world are not accurate barometers of our spiritual life, coram Deo, before God. Good things in life are not God's way of saying, you know what? You're doing a great job, and I love the fact that you're doing all these things. After all, we know that He gives to both the just and the unjust, that the rain falls on those who believe and do not believe. And so the piercing truth of this parable is that if the word of God is not in your ears, you are to be pitied. Because Jesus doesn't care how much money you have. Because apart from Him, his and all your riches, you are poor. Jesus doesn't care how wise or smart or intelligent you are to the ways of the world, for apart from him and his word, you are dead in your sin and trespasses. Without Jesus, essentially, all life is non-life. Without Jesus, every second of your earthly life is simply a prelude to Hades, to everlasting darkness, despair, and eternal punishment. The only thing in this life that we can be sure of is simply the truth and the goodness and the beauty of God's holy word and what it does in our lives, despite what we do. The word spoken to us by God through Moses and the prophets and the apostles, and the word of God become flesh in Jesus Christ. Having this word of God fill your ears, having your heart believe this word and your lips confess this word, you then have Jesus, who rescues your body and your soul from death, no matter how poor or sad you are, no matter how many mountains and struggles that you climb each day, and no matter what the world thinks of you. For as Jesus begins to tell the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, I think we thought we knew where it was going. Perhaps we even thought we could finish Jesus' sentences and write it ourselves. But the ending was quite disturbing, wasn't it? Because it left us dumbfounded and speechless. How could this be? As the rich man wondered. Because the rich man didn't have it all after all. And Lazarus wasn't as poor as he looked. The psalmist was right when he said that better is little that the righteous has than the abundance of the wicked. Now, lest you misunderstand, the rich man is not evil insofar as he is rich. The poor man, Lazarus, is not righteous insofar as he is poor. Nor, mind you, is the point of the parable that the rich man would become righteous by giving or sharing his riches with the poor man, Lazarus. For all we know, maybe he did. The point is that the rich man looks to his riches to provide him with good things now. Poor Lazarus looks to God to give him an inheritance that shall neither fade nor spoil in heaven, in the resurrection of the dead, then. The rich man's faith is in his riches. Lazarus' faith is in God. So the contrast here is not about money and possessions. The contrast here is about faith. Faith. And faith is not a matter of the will. It's not a matter of your own strength. As you confess in the explanation of the third article of the Creed, essentially, I believe that I cannot believe. Rather, the Holy Spirit creates faith by the Word, and so therefore faith is a gift of God to you. To believe in Jesus is something that God does for you and in you by His Word. And so He does this through the hearing of the Holy Scriptures. Moses and the prophets, short form for Old Testament. He does this through the apostles and the evangelists, short form New Testament, and the Bible, if you want to put it in a generic language. the Word made visible even more so in the sacraments that He provides you to give you faith. That is how faith is born and given, and that is how faith is strengthened in this earthly life. I want to go to the end of the parable, because I find that part quite fascinating and ironic at the same time. At the end of the parable, as you know, the rich man begs Abraham to send Lazarus to go back and warn his brothers that they might not fall into the same torment that he has fallen into. Now, this plea reveals something that even the rich man knew about his brothers. And that is this, that they would not even listen to Moses and the prophets. Rather, it would take something more, like somebody rising from the dead, seeing someone coming forth from the grave. So his brothers were cut from the very same cloth as he was. So he wants a Lazarus. Now think about Jesus raising Lazarus now. He wants a Lazarus, a man risen from the grave, to go and preach to them. But that won't do. Why? Because after Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave, the Jewish leaders did not believe in Jesus. They did not follow him and become his disciples. Rather, they sought to plot even more his demise and his death. The resurrection of Lazarus in the scriptures had the exact opposite effect of what we thought it was going to do, what the rich man thought it was going to do. They didn't believe all the more, but rather they ramped up their unbelief and they hardened their hearts even more. And why? Why? Again, it's simple. Because they would not listen to Moses and the prophets. They would not listen to Jesus. They would not listen to the Word of God. As you might well know, faith solely based upon miracles has a very short shelf life. Look at the Israelites in the days of Moses and their traveling throughout the wilderness. They saw plagues that delivered them from the Egyptians' clutches. They saw the waters of the Red Sea part. They saw manna fall from heaven and quail and water gush from a rock and miracle after miracle after miracle. And what happened? Did they believe? No. They murmured. They disbelieved. They grumbled. They rebelled. And so they received punishment. Nothing can substitute the importance of hearing the Word of God, not even seeing a dead man rise from the grave alive. And so it is that if we let our eyes determine what is true and false, what is good and bad, we will remain blind in many and various ways. Our eyes and our ears tell a far different story when it comes to the man Lazarus in the parable. Our eyes see Lazarus as a poor beggar. But our ears hear him as a rich man with a father's grace. Our eyes see Lazarus in rags, but our ears hear him decked out with the righteousness of Christ. Our eyes see him starving, but our ears hear him feasting sumptuously on the bread of life that comes down from heaven for the life of the world. Our eyes see him without friends or companions, but our ears hear him as a friend of God and the companion of angels. I must admit, last Monday night, I had a similar experience where I had to really shut my eyes and I had to open my ears. As I saw another Lazarus dying, begging at the gate of the eternal city of God. My eyes saw a poor man lying in weakness, all but out of breath, but my eyes heard a bleating sheep whose shepherd heard the cries of this sheep and took him home. My eyes saw a man who was but all but skin and bones and not much flesh, but my ears heard him being wrapped in a robe of garments of salvation. My eyes saw a man begging for water, but my ears were hearing him drinking from the rivers of the city of the eternal city that make glad the inhabitants of those who dwell in the city of God. My eyes saw a man die, breathe his last breath upon this earth, yet my ears heard a man being born from above, born again in baptism, and the angels of God bearing him home to the bosom of Abraham, the paradise of God. And so the point is that what the eyes cannot fathom, the ears believe and confess and know to be true and good and beautiful. And this is faith. To hear the God who speaks to us. To hear what he has told us over and over again about his love and his mercy in his Son, Jesus Christ. For he has given us comforting promises in the midst of the world's terrifying curses and all kinds of horrific endings. And when we hear these promises, they work faith in our hearts. And we cling to them. Whether we are rich or poor, whether we have high status in society or low status in society. Knowing for certain that when our last hour comes, we will be taken to the bosom of Abraham. Now the warning, obviously, of the parable is this. That if we reject his promises, then our eternal destiny will be that of the rich man. So let us this morning yet again resolve to give heed to our Lord's word. Let us, as Jesus tells the various crowds in the gospel, to have ears that hear. Let us believe and cling to what our God and Savior has done for us in Christ Jesus. And when our last battle comes with the darkness of death and the devil, then we shall close our eyes and open our ears to the wonderful words that the Lord at last has let his angels come, and that to Abraham's bosom he has borne me home. And so I have died unfearing. And then to know that in his narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep. And that is until I reappear immortal. And then my eyes shall see my God and his glorious face. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.